This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I just would love to know what you thought. Did you know anything about this project before you were handed the script, and what you thought when you first read the script and thought,
I knew nothing before they handed me the script, and, you know, I got a few pages in and was like, what? No! And I'd never done, like, a lot of sex scenes before, so I wasn't fully prepared for doing that either. But then, so I went in and I read for The Best Friend, and then Mitchell was like, oh, you know, we'd actually be interested in you for Dawn. I was like, I don't know. And then he started talking to me, and I realized, like, he's incredibly smart and so sweet and so gentle that, like, he was trying to make a dark comedy. He wasn't trying to make a bad, like, B horror movie. He was trying to make a dark comedy. And how cool is it to have the opportunity to play a part that's never been played before? Like, and I started to see her as, like, a superhero, somebody with an anatomical uniqueness that has to learn to use her power for good.
So, as sex scenes go, how is this for an initiation?
Well, for me, it was actually great because of the people I was working with. Like, everybody was very protective over me and wanted to make sure I felt, you know, safe and comfortable. I mean, Mitchell spearheaded that, making sure I was comfortable, and then all the guys were just total darlings. As it was, you know, aside from their screen images, which are despicable, you know, but we knew we were making a fantasy world where it's like, you know, the guys are bad in this movie, and that's this movie's a fantasy world.
It's a good thing.
What was it like shooting one of the, like, maybe the first one you had to do, one of those sex scenes?
You know what, the first one was hard, and not...
Which one was it?
Well, it was the rape scene the beginning, and it was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a mixture of elemental reasons, because it was freezing in the water that we were in, and we were in a cave that was very, you know, it was a cave, so it was dirty, and it took all day to shoot it, because it's a pretty long scene, so it was a hard day for those reasons, and, you know, having to... feel like you have to protect yourself from being assaulted is, you know, it does take a lot of adrenaline to get through a day like that. But, you know, we were all very good to each other to stay in the right place to be able
so
to do it.
So you're saying that filmmaking is not as glamorous as it may seem.
I guess so. I get, you know, it has its days. Like, this day is glamorous.
I think you have an interesting story about winning the award at Sundance, because didn't you have, like, an airplane thing you had to fly back, or...
Yeah, people, I think, have actually been confused that I was flying out of there and had just gotten back from Sundance, but I had left Sundance a few days before and was flying to go shoot another movie in San Diego, and it was when I flew from New York to San Diego and the plane landed, a stewardess had heard from the desk that I won and came on the plane, was like, we have to get you on another flight to Utah immediately. You just won an award.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wah! Around a bunch of strangers. And it was totally fantastic to get to, you know, share that with strangers.
That is cool.
Going back to your comment about comparing Dawn to being a superhero.
Yeah.
Her superpower kind of requires an elaborate setup, and it's very specific.
Yeah.
So how would she work as a crime fighter? How do you think she would stack up against the other heroes out there?
Yeah. Good point. I don't know, because I don't think that she seeks out victims. I would say, you know, I don't know if she, like, would swoop in upon somebody else having... you know, being assaulted and be like, no, have sex with me! and then take away their weapon. But in the sense that, like, her brother, you know, she sees that, like, he's abusing people sexually, that she's like, well, you know, it's time to take this away from this guy. And she, you know, goes to him, and that's sort of a superhero shot.
Have you seen the film with an audience?
Yeah, I've seen it with a few.
Is it always interesting to see the reactions, you know, especially as the film really gets going?
It is, and it hasn't been cookie cutter at all. Like, different audiences have reacted completely differently. I would say, though, I think this is a crowd movie. I think it's a movie best experienced with a group of people because the audience sort of gets on a roll with each other to figure out what's funny and what's not funny, because so much of it is just uncomfortable that people, you know, have to release at some point, and it's like when and how, and I think it makes it more fun to share it with people.
Now, do you know, has this played to any religious groups or any of these chastity organizations?
I don't think it has. I don't think that it has. We did show it in, Sundance is in Utah, and one of the showings was out.
In one of the Mormon areas?
In one of the areas, but the crowd that I think it drew were kids that, you know, wanted to see it. So they were one of our most excited bunches. They were just screaming the whole time, like they totally got it.
Would you consider it a horror movie?
I wouldn't, actually.
Oh, I said it was a sex horror film.
I would consider it a dark comedy. I think it's being marketed right now with the way the trailer is a little bit like a horror movie, which isn't exactly right. It has horror elements, but it's not like a movie that feeds off of gore, even though it also has some gore. I think it's mostly a dark comedy.
And
it's,
have you had feedback from people that have talked to you about it after they've seen it? Because I wonder what the difference between a woman seeing it. See, I enjoyed it because I could use that on a couple of things. But I just wonder if you get a different reaction from, oh, I said I. Anyway, between a male audience and a female audience.
It has been all over the place. I've had a lot of guys come up to me and, like, you know, afterwards and be like, I'm terrified of you. And I'm like, cool, thanks. But I've also had a lot of guys be like, oh, it was great. Like, that was so cool. You know, like, they got it. They got that it was funny. They didn't think that it was a statement saying that, like, all men deserve to be castrated or anything like that. I don't think that's what the movie's saying.
Yeah.
It's you know, it depends if somebody's along for the ride or not,
mm-hmm.
if they can get into it. Some people like to be scared. You know, they like to get a little scared sometimes.
Yeah. Now, you trained at Juilliard, correct?
Yeah.
Anything at Juilliard really prepare you for this kind of role?
The classics, the poetry. It's really Greek. Actually, it's kind of Greek, you know? It's mm-hmm. got the... It's a heightened reality. It's not a realistic movie. And I would say doing the Greeks maybe helped me prepare for it, having that sort of, you know, level of drama involved.
You have another film in Sundance this year.
No, I don't.
But aren't you in Goodbye, Baby?
Yeah. Oh, that's Slam Dance. Oh, I have that's a friend of mine. I did a movie called The Big Bad Swim, and the writer did this afterwards, and I was shooting something else when he made Goodbye Baby, and I was going to play a part and then ended up playing, like, a friend. It's really a cameo in Slam Dance, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Peter and Vandy, which we spoke about a little bit upstairs, but for everyone else. Could you talk a little bit about working on that film and, you know, your character?
I'm probably most excited to see how Peter and Vandy turns out, how that gets edited together. Because it felt very special making it, and it's a love story, and it's totally, you know, real. It's not fantasy at all. And it was great getting to, you know, shoot what is almost a two-person movie. There are some other people like Jesse Martin and Tracy Toms who are the friends in it. I think it could be very beautiful. I'm excited to see how Peter and Vandy turns out. It's, you know, it's about love and it's about the way people unintentionally sort of hurt each other.
And you did the film with Jason Ritter.
Yeah.
And so what was it like working with him?
He's brilliant. I had no idea he was as good as he was just because it's not like I'd followed up on him enough. I hadn't watched enough of what he'd done, and I was shocked at how good he was. We could really, like, throw down with each other. We could really fight, and we could really, you know, care. He's a phenomenal actor.
How much rehearsal did you do for this? Is the, Matt, do you really like into rehearsal or?
I love rehearsal, and I was fortunate enough to have a month that I got cast a month before we started shooting. I don't know how people, you know, like they throw it out to a million stars and then somebody else gets it like a week before. I think that's like a ticket to hell because you don't shoot in sequence. So, you know, how do you start in the middle if you don't know anything about this person's journey? And I had a month to prepare, and I went, I have a coach, and I, you know, took it to him and worked on it, you know, several times a week just to get familiar with who this girl could be, you know. You don't, nobody knows what somebody with vagina dentata is like. And so I got to come up with it, and it was nice that I had the time to do that.
What about rehearsing with the other characters? I mean, you know, usually they'll bring maybe a week of rehearsal or something.
We didn't really have any rehearsal. We had, like, a few hours one day where we would map out the sex scenes so that we knew what we were doing, so that when we started shooting, we weren't worried about the physical logistics.
In the scene in the doctor's office, you get to go from kind of this atmosphere of sinister unease to kind of physical comedy almost.
Yeah, totally.
By the end of it. So, what was it like filming that scene? Because the expression on your face is priceless.
That scene was a blast, and Josh Pice. I don't know if you all know this beautiful fact about him. He was the only person. He was in the Ninja Turtles movie, and he was the only person to be inside of the costume and the voice. He was Raphael.
Oh.
If that tells you anything about like how physically capable he is to like set up you know, the combat of the scenes. So we were able to map it out very clearly, like, first this is going to happen. And I had, like, a harness on my thighs so that he could have something to, like, hold on to throw my body around. And so we went through everything that was going to happen beforehand, and he is also, like, a teacher. So he was very instructional. He was able to, like, take the reins, so to speak, and help us mark through it. So when we shot it, we maybe did two takes. I think we ended up using the first one. You know, it's like, all right, you ready for this? High five, get your adrenaline going. Let's go. High four, one, however many he ends up with.
I can't believe you were able to bring in Ninja Turtles into this interview.
Yeah.
You filmed this partly in Austin.
All of it in Austin.
So what was it like filming in that a huge film town?
I would love to go back to Austin, and what's great about it, if film-wise, is the crew is very experienced. You know, they totally know what they're doing. They're used to working with Rodriguez and Tarantino and whoever else goes there. So we had a team of, you know, professional, chilled out, you know, people. It was just, they knew what they were doing, and it's a fun town to be in. You know, it's a music town, and a you know, Mexican food, and it was a great place to be, and I'd love to go back. I have a friend shooting a film there soon, and I'm going to go and visit her just so I can hang out in Austin some more.
Do you have anything coming up? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
Do you have anything coming up?
I'll see what happens with Peter and Vandy. I shot some other ones.
After that.
I have something that I'm going to shoot in April. I have two things that might happen, but one isn't, the date isn't set yet, so I don't know. But one is supposed to go in April. There's a cult comic book artist, Jeffrey Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And my roommate owns a comic book store, so I'm into the whole thing. And he wrote a book called Clumsy, and he wrote this screenplay called Save the Date. And there's a band called Of Montreal, who's also like an indie cult kind of a band, and they're scoring it, and the lead singer's going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool indie group of people. I'm looking forward to what happens. Joe Swanberg is going to direct it.
What's the story? Is it a cult? Is it based on one of his cult comics?
It just has his sensibility, which is they're comic books, but it's mostly like people who are very sweet but sort of clumsy. Like, they have a hard time, you know, getting their feelings across, and they are very sensitive and easily hurt. You know, that sort of a bunch. And this is I guess my story is based between me and my sister. I'm a little bit of a bridezilla trying to get my wedding going, and she's, you know, pregnant, and I think that my wedding is more important than her pregnancy, and you know that kind of a. The story is basic, but the dialogue is sort of brilliant, and we'll see what happens.
Is this a project that is based on the writer's strike getting resolved, or this is something that can move forward?
I think since we shoot in April, I don't think it's going to be longer than 3 weeks or a month to shoot it. We'd be finished by May. I think it would be fine.
Oh, you're talking about the actor's strike, but the writer's
strike. Oh, the writer's strike. Oh, it was already written. So it's since it's done, you know, it's okay to go ahead and shoot when it's already finished.
So besides that, is the writer's strike actually affected? How has it affected you as an actor?
I don't know. I've worked, you know, the past 4 months because everything was written before we shot, and I think that's true of a lot of indies because they work so hard to try to get it made that it's been written for a long time. But me personally, I'm not, you know, I don't live here in LA, and so I'm not usually diving into pilot seasons, so it hasn't had as great effect on me as a lot of other actors. I'm sure it's going to affect us all because writers are important, and you know, they've got to be able to keep making work for us to do.
I interrupted you. Did you want to
answer? Oh, yeah. I was only going to ask, do you ever see yourself, if this film develops a following and Mitchell gets inspired to do a sequel and really turn you into a superhero, would you step back in?
I would. I think I would. I mean, I'd have to read the script and know that there was something more to give. Like, I don't know, one of the guys hunts her down for revenge or something, you know, something like that.
The old man in the car, obviously.
That, or the gynecologist, you know, something.
Who now has a hook on his hand.
Would you envision her in a certain costume?
I've been asked that before, too.
Logos,
I don't know, there's probably some strapping V somewhere.
VD.
VD. Yeah, so many people have also asked, what's, like, the release thing? Like, what's, like, the, like, ripcord or... I don't know.
Delta.
I don't know. I don't think she... I think she's always incognito. Maybe. It would be great if she got a costume.
So, has your friend owning a comic book store, has that affected, like, your comic book knowledge because you knew about the turtle thing, or did you just learn that from John, or...
I knew from Josh Pice.
I'm sorry, Josh.
Yeah, I knew that he. I mean, he told me he was a Ninja Turtle, but I knew the Ninja Turtles from my own childhood. Nobody had to tell me about them. And I'm starting to learn about comic books. I'm really interested in that they're going to make a Why the Last Man movie. I think
a what?
Why the Last Man?
Oh, see,
it's a great book.
May I just ask you? You said about the pilots that you just never really hear, and you're not. You don't want to do television then?
It's not that I don't want to do it. I just haven't, you know, been involved with it so far in my career, and I've been working through a lot of the pilot seasons. I think that there is good TV. I just have had more of a tendency towards film so far.